Getting real with women who inspire us. The three of us together have a lot of experience discussing real issues that affect real women. Now we're giving you a chance to actually hear how we talk about the topics in the newsroom behind the scenes here on the Oklahoma Women Want to Know podcast.
On this episode of Oklahoma Women Want to Know, we met a business owner at the fourth Women in Business Mixer, and she said, I made everything I'm wearing. And I said, hold on, Jen, you need to see this. Get over here. Rachel Rose owns Dylan Rose Fine Jewelry. They're beautiful premier pieces, many inspired by Tulsa's very own beautiful Art Deco landscape. Rachel's come a long way since trading her first set of earrings in Mexico City for tacos. She has quite the story. We're going to meet her and talk about her journey to small business leader in just a moment. But first, I'm April Hill, and I am the news director and midday anchor here at 102.3 KRMG, Tulsa's News and Talk.
I'm Jen Townley, co-host of the KRMG Morning News with Dan Potter.
And I'm Crystal Kelly, a reporter for KRMG.
Okay, Rachel, tell us a little bit about who you are, what you own, where you're from.
Yeah, well, my name is Rachel Rose Stacy, and I own Dylan Rose Fine Jewelry. I grew up in Tulsa in the Kendall Whittier District and graduated from Tulsa School of Arts and Sciences. And really, I'm an artist at heart, and jewelry is the medium through which I explore my creative passions.
Okay, I guess let's start with the Mexico thing. So
Yeah. You
kind of, you're from Tulsa, but you kind of toured a little bit before you landed back here, and we're going to find out why you landed back here in just a moment. But tell us about Mexico. Why'd you go down there?
Yeah, I was just really curious. I've just always been a really curious being. And as soon as I graduated high school, I went to Europe and I backpacked through Europe for about 6 months. And I just fell in love with the Latin culture and with traveling. And so I came back to the U.S. and I got a job landscaping. And I was landscaping with a group of brothers. It was a family from Mexico. And I told them, I really want to go to Mexico. And at first they were like, that's an awful idea. You should never go. And I said, no, but I really want to go. I really want to learn Spanish and I really want to understand that culture. And so they sent me down there and I lived with their mom for 6 months in this tiny town, dirt roads. No one spoke English, which was actually a huge blessing. At first, it was scary, to be honest, just because I was so uncomfortable. But after about a week, I realized it's kind of a sink or swim situation. You know, like you're going to either figure this out or not. And so I decided to stay and I learned Spanish and I learned the culture and she taught me how to cook incredible Mexican food. And I just really fell in love with it. I started a girls' soccer team while I was down there. And then I decided I wanted to see more of Mexico. And so I struck out on my own and started traveling and making friends. And then eventually I met some silversmiths and some jewelers and started hanging out with them and making jewelry with them just for fun. But like you said, I ended up selling it. The first jewelry I ever made, I went to a little taco stand with my three bracelets that I had made and I traded it for tacos. And it was like this incredible passion was born within me at that moment.
For tacos.
For tacos and jewelry.
That is such a great story. I love that.
I work for tacos. I do that.
So have you made any jewelry shaped like tacos?
That's a good question. You know, I did do a line of vulva jewelry, and vulvas are kind of like tacos.
There you go.
Okay.
That was not expected.
But you ended up coming back here to Tulsa to open your business, to start your business. Tell us why. Yeah. Tell us about that.
Yeah. You know, as a homegrown Tulsa girl, once I decided to have children, I wanted to be close to my family. And so that's really what brought me home was having a family. And also when I decided I was going to go full in and this was going to be my career as an artist, I knew that Tulsa is a really good base for that. We have a great community of people that want to support entrepreneurs and artists. And so it was really a strategic decision to come back here, found Dylan Rose and raise my family here while being an entrepreneur.
Now, there are so many interesting facts about you, but one of them is your degree. Tell us about that.
Yeah. So in my, you know, I started making base jewelry out of basically like found objects and copper wire, but I was really intentional about continually increasing my knowledge of metals and gemstones. And so once I had my own studio, I knew I wanted to get into bridal and engagement. And before I did that, I took myself to California to get a graduate degree in diamonds from GIA, which was awesome. It was really enjoyable. And they teach you how to grade diamonds. And, you know, I look at all my diamonds under a microscope and I can grade them like just like they do at GIA.
What's GIA?
The Gemological Institute of America.
Okay.
And it's basically like the most respected institution for diamonds. Diamonds from all over the world get shipped to GIA to be graded.
So do you find yourself everywhere you go looking at people's diamonds to inspect it?
Absolutely. Yeah.
See, I can't tell all a good diamond from a bad.
I'm all about cubic zirconia. I'm like, oh, that's a gorgeous diamond. Yeah, no, it's not.
Oh, wow. I have so many questions. This is just so cool. I guess for starters, the name of your studio and your company, Dylan Rose, where did that name come from?
Yeah. So my husband works with me full time as well, and he's an artist too. And when we founded Dylan Rose, we took his middle name and my middle name and put them together. So his name is Seth Dylan. My name is Rachel Rose. And it was really the umbrella for both of us to be artists and be creatives.
Is that cool working with your husband on projects that you're so passionate about?
It's a mixed bag, but it's mostly cool.
What a truthful answer. That's why we're here.
I mean, we have an awesome relationship, and it's so special to be able to do that. I mean, not a lot of people get to be full-on entrepreneurs, both of them, in a relationship, and artists and creatives. So I feel lucky every single day. You know, I think it's easy to get really overwhelmed as an entrepreneur, but when I step back and get to, you know, look at my life holistically, it's like, oh my gosh, wow. There's just so much gratitude.
Okay, so people listening to this, they can't see your jewelry, and they're probably picturing some, you know, rinky-dink DIY kind of thing that we'd make at home. It is not.
Her stuff's beautiful. Mm-hmm.
It is high quality.
Yeah, you had, when you were at the Women in Business Mixer, and we met you there, you had this gorgeous, I think a turquoise ring.
Mm-hmm.
It was huge and beautiful, and I was just like, "Wow!"
What are the materials you use? What you have on right now, is that gold?
So it's primarily 18 karat gold. That's the main metal that we work in. I would say 80% of our work is in 18 karat yellow gold. But I also work in rose gold, white gold, and then I do some silver. I have an American Western line, and the silver is just kind of a nice nod to tradition. You know, that's really what was used in the American West for so long, and I love using turquoise and mixing it with diamonds and kind of elevating. So I'm bringing in a lot of tradition in these like traditional silversmithing techniques, but then elevating them in the design and the materials.
So do you have, for your different lines, are they all completely different, or do you use a little inspiration from Tulsa for all your different lines? Mm-hmm. How do you?
So I have basically two umbrellas under which I explore creativity. And those two umbrellas are Art Deco and American Western. And so within those, it's kind of a beautiful marriage, because in the American Western, I get to explore more organic forms and like large turquoise stones and colored stones. But then I'll also explore things like, I did a mushroom collection, and I've done a lot of like prairie inspired pieces, and a lot of bolo ties, big bolo ties that are just, you know, it's just so fun.
And very Oklahoma.
Very Oklahoma.
Russell had one on yesterday when he got dressed up.
He always has them. He loves those things.
When I was in fifth grade, those bolos, where I grew up in New York, they were really trendy for a short period of time. And I save things. I still have my bolo tie from when I was
so
in fifth grade. Yeah, it was cute. Yeah.
I'm
sure yours are really much prettier.
As far as gemstones go, are they all kind of the same when you set them in, or is there some that are a little more difficult to work with?
Mm-hmm. So there's definitely different hardnesses. So diamonds are used in rings because they're so hard and durable, and you can wear them every day and not worry about them being chipped or cracked. Sapphires are also very hard. Rubies are very hard. Things like emeralds, you are a lot softer. So as a jeweler, I talk my clients through like, what are you going to be doing in this jewelry? Are you trying to wear it every day? You know, if it's earrings or a necklace, any stone you can use. But But for rings, I really kind of talk to them about how they're going to live their life. Because people love emeralds. I love emeralds. But it's not something you want to wear on your finger every day. So I always tell people, you know, you have to think about the materials a lot.
What would you say is your favorite to work with?
18 karat gold.
Okay.
Yeah. It's just, it's a little bit softer than 14 karat. And the yellow gold especially is just kind of, I call it buttery, but in like a really lovely way. Like I can sculpt it as the artist in a way that it's harder to do with other metals. And it just has that like rich yellow tone that I really love.
Which is back in style now. Remember? Yeah. It went out of style.
I know.
And it's back in now, right?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it is.
Have you ever done custom pieces? When you say you were talking about clients, so I'm curious.
Yeah, I do a lot of custom, actually. It's about probably 60 to 80% of my business is custom engagement rings, custom anniversary pieces. But I really love also just celebrating achievements. So graduations, or I've made multiple pieces for people that have climbed mountains. So it's like, you know, and I'll use that mountain to inspire the piece itself. But what's so special about what I'm doing is because I'm designing each piece, I get to tell people's story in that piece. So they're getting an engagement ring that's truly unique to them, that has little symbols that, you know, will make them think of each other. And, you know, one thing I love about jewelry is it can be transformational. If you have like a thought behind that piece every day when you put it on, mm-hmm. it can transform the way you're thinking. And then also it can make you feel beautiful. And I love when I see people out and they're like putting this on every day as part of my morning ritual. And it makes me feel safe, or it makes me feel powerful, or it makes me feel in tune with who I am. I mean, that's like just incredible to be able to be part of that with people.
Or it brings up a memory. I remember my first pair of diamond earrings I got was from an ex-boyfriend. Mm-hmm. And still to this day, every time I put them on, I remember mm-hmm. how he gave those to me.
Yeah.
Or when I put on a ring that was passed down to me from my great-grandmother.
Yes.
You know, I think how special I am to have been able to receive that from her.
Well, and that's one really cool thing I do. It's, I call it heirloom redesign, that people bring in their grandmother's jewelry, their grandfather's jewelry, and I can take all the stones out, and then I can actually melt the gold down because we cast in-house. So I can use that same gold in their ring, use the diamonds or the stones from their ring. And I love it.
Okay, it's such I need a cool to come to you I'm wearing right now, my grandma's diamond around my neck.
That's so cool.
I had my grandma and my grandpa's wedding rings melted down in a small town in Kansas at a jewelry store. It is hideous. I got it back and I was like, okay, that's not my jewelry box.
Well, let's melt it down again and reimagine it.
Yeah.
So what is your favorite design that you have done for a client, or maybe the oddest thing that you have done?
Let's see.
Well, we already talked about the oddest thing.
Oh, yeah. Let's not talk about that anymore.
Oh, yeah. Keep it coming.
Well, so it was actually for Mayfest one year. I think it was 4 or 5 years ago. I did I created a pedestal. It was like, and I did put this beautiful crown chair on it, or throne chair on it. And then I made a crown that had a big yoni on there. And I took, and it was a photo booth basically. So I had my jewelry on the edges and these pillars that I had built, and then this throne with this crown. And I took probably 300 pictures of different women that would come, and they would put the crown on and they would get their picture taken. And it was just this whole female empowerment thing. But I also did like earrings and necklaces that just had that feminine form, all about female empowerment and being true to yourself and not being afraid to be who you are. I think as women, we get pushed into stereotypes or trying to fit into what it looks like to be a powerful woman. And I think it can look like so many different things.
How has your taste in jewelry evolved from when you were young?
Wow. It has... I think I just have such a deeper appreciation for it, you know, because I understand the processes. My style has, I don't know, that's a good question.
Is it more, well, yeah. Let's think about, like, think about what you wore when you were a teenager.
Right. Yeah. A lot of beads. There's a lot of beads involved in my life.
Compared to what you're wearing right now is very sophisticated to me. Beautiful. It's like each piece is like a work of art.
Yes.
So.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think I appreciate design in a whole new way. And that's what I love about Art Deco, too, is growing up in Tulsa, I would ride my bike downtown because I lived in Kendall Whittier and I'd ride my bike down to the Central Library. And there's all these beautiful Art Deco buildings. And so it was like this little oasis for me. And I would just admire the buildings. And I've come to realize now that that really instilled in me an appreciation for design and an understanding how much design can change your mind, you know, can really inspire you to achieve greatness, to reach for bigger, broader things. And so, yeah, my evolution as an artist has really been just a deeper and deeper appreciation for design and what it can do to our minds and how it can transform us.
And better quality materials.
Absolutely.
Beads. So what I was going to ask you, and you gave a little bit towards the design part and being younger and what you just said, but where did your love for art start? Did you always, as a little girl, did you always want to be an artist, or is that something that evolved as you got older?
I always loved making art, but I actually thought I was going to be a farmer for a long time. I love being in nature and working outside. And so I really thought I was going to be like a biologist or farmer or something. And then I fell in love with photography when I was in high school. And so I built my own darkroom, and photography really became a passion. But I kind of thought like that'll be a hobby. My art will be a hobby, and then I'll end up working in nature in some regard. But then, I don't know, the jewelry just kind of stole my heart and became such a passion that it ended up being what I pursued.
So how do you take a hobby and a passion to owning a business in downtown Tulsa? I mean, people are going to want to know how to do that. Financially, everything.
Everything.
Business
mixer.
Yeah.
Right. Well, it hasn't been an easy path. It's been a path of a lot of hard work and extreme dedication. So it started as a hobby, like I said, and I started putting my jewelry in coffee shops. And then I started doing shows like Mayfest, and I would travel to other states and do these shows. As my children were getting older and getting into school, I realized, okay, I really need more of a foundation in Tulsa. And I was starting to do a lot more custom work. And so that's really what prompted me to get my own studio and move the business out of the house. But I think it was also really important to me that I was establishing my brand, because I've seen so many artists who end up kind of being co-opted by other brands. And I knew that I wanted to have freedom. You know, freedom has always been really, really important to me, and having creative freedom to pursue
control.
Exactly. pursue what I wanted to pursue and do it in a really authentic way. And so establishing Dylan Rose with my husband and making sure that our branding is really on point, the story that we're telling is really powerful, and then the aesthetic is really consistent with what we're trying to portray. My husband also has a background in photography, and both of us having that background in photography has been such a blessing, because in today's day and age, so much is digital and so much is image-based that the photos that we take of our jewelry and the videos that we're crafting, we're doing it all in-house.
I was wondering if that was stuff you did with...
Yeah. And I mean, honestly, the only way that I'm still in business is that I'm kind of a woman of so many trades, you know, like I've really learned how to do so many different things, both from like, you know, being on the bench with a torch, making the jewelry, to marketing, to photographing the jewelry, to knowing about the materials, to learning about, you know, the diamonds, which was new. And just continually getting new skill sets has been really important.
And even where you chose to buy your shop was strategic. Tell us about that.
Yeah. So I'm on Charles Page Boulevard, just west of downtown. And I knew I wanted a space that was kind of off the beaten path. I wanted it to be a destination, because I want people, when they come, again, to kind of control that experience. I want to create an experience that can be very private. If people are wanting, you know, a very high-end purchase that's very private, I can create that environment. But it's also, people call it a little hidden gem all the time because you don't know where it is. But once you come, it's a really lovely experience. And
it's a gem for a gem.
It is a gem. So yeah. Going back to your love of nature, my grandmother.
Crystal, Lord, she loves being outside.
Me, the science nerd. But this is about jewelry.
Okay.
So my grandmother had all this jewelry that were like gold covered leaves and pine cones and stuff like that. And I always thought, how hard would that be to coat a leaf with gold? Is that hard?
Filigree?
It's almost like they just dipped it and it's like a little maple leaf.
I don't know if that was real gold. You could probably go to Hobby Lobby and get some.
I don't know, but it looked cool. All right, guys.
It was probably gold leaf, which is kind of like a foil. And it's not too difficult to apply that on things. It takes time. And so much of jewelry is just patience. People ask me all the time, like, well, isn't that hard? And I'm like, well, it's just really time consuming.
When did you go to college? I'm curious where you would get like your business sense from you were traveling.
Like 100% self-taught over
That's
here.
That's incredible. Yeah. I love that.
Well, it's artistry.
And yeah. I think that helps me be creative in my problem solving. You know, I don't have kind of the institutional mind ruts that I think a lot of people get into. And honestly, my husband, it's awesome to have that partnership because he brings a lot of that like critical thinking.
Did he have the business background?
Or he didn't.
He's like
no.
me too.
He's like me too. Yeah, we're both just very creative, kind of free spirits.
And he's more naturally a critical thinker.
Yes.
And the practical thinker.
Yes.
So this is a good one. So for talking about, you know, coming off the Women in Business Mixer and mm-hmm. learning about having a business in Tulsa, mm-hmm. what did you do to help you learn about mm-hmm. the business side of it? Obviously, mm-hmm. the artistry comes naturally mm-hmm. and we talked about, but where did you learn, get the brain for the business?
Yeah, not everyone's going to be a good business owner.
Yeah, it's not easy. I did get involved at 36 Degrees North, and I just did some artist talks there to get to know the community and see like, okay, what are other entrepreneurs doing? What's working? And then I looked at what other brands were doing that I respected and said, okay, how are they doing that? And then I think I've just always been really miserly with my money, and that has helped me a ton. And, you know, that's how I traveled so much, is I would like work and work and work and just save all my money.
When you slept in a bus in Mexico.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yikes.
I lived in a school bus for about 2 years. And so I'm good at being scrappy. And, you know, I love beans and rice. And so
you can make the right friends, find the right moms.
It's, you know, I'm still learning how to be a businesswoman, to be honest. You know, I've just started growing my team. I got my team up to 6 employees. Wow. And that's a lot of management, and it's a whole different skill set.
Oh yeah, it is.
And so being a business owner, yeah, I don't know. I think you just have to really check in with yourself. And I'm very disciplined. You know, I like to get up. I work out every morning. I do my like lists of what I'm grateful for and then what I have to get done that day and then what I would like to get done that day. And then with my kids, I have kind of my non-negotiables. I'm always going to be at dinner with them. We're always going to have like, you know, an hour or two in the evening together. But then I might get back to work. And
how old are your kids?
They are 9 and 11.
Oh, that's a nice age.
Yeah. Yeah. They go to Emerson Elementary.
Okay. So there's an event coming up that you wanted to talk about. What's that
about?
Yeah.
It's called Deco and Diamonds, and it's April 19th. It's a Friday evening. And what was I going to say? Deco. There's a World Art Deco Day on April 22nd, I think. And so we wanted to throw a big deco event because we have an Art Deco line already, and I have a few new really incredible pieces that I'll be releasing. And so we've partnered with Tulsa Foundation for Architecture and Goff Fest. They'll both be there promoting what they do. I don't know if you guys have heard about Goff Fest.
No, I was about to ask about that.
Yeah, it's all about celebrating Bruce Goff and all the incredible buildings that he built in Tulsa. He's a world-renowned architect, and Tulsa's very lucky to have a few of his buildings here. And then the Tulsa Foundation for Architecture is a nonprofit, and they're just about championing design and architecture and Art Deco. And so I'm just bringing in all the people in Tulsa that really love Art Deco, and then I'll be bringing in some Art Deco-inspired diamonds. So think shapes of diamonds that are very Art Deco, emerald cuts, kite shapes. I brought in an Asher diamond that's absolutely beautiful. And just highlighting how it's special it is to have all this Art Deco in Tulsa, and then showcasing my Art Deco work.
Okay, so where can people find you?
So they can find me at dylanrose.com. And Dylan is DillonRose.com. Instagram, I'm very active on Instagram. Same spelling, Dylan Rose, on Facebook. And then my studio, like I said, is just west of downtown on Charles Page Boulevard.
Okay. Thank you for coming in. Obviously, you're busy. We appreciate that. And we hope that we want to see you explode. We want to see this business really thrive. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Okay. And make sure you hit subscribe so you don't miss a single episode of Oklahoma Women Want to Know. See you next time on 102.3 KRMG, Tulsa's news and talk.
Thank you for joining us once again on Oklahoma Women Want to Know. Tune in each Wednesday at 5 a.m. for the latest episode, and don't forget to drop us a review.